question. Please explain how we become co-creators with God through sex, as you mentioned in your Gita Daily articles. Answer: Krishna is the supreme creator, and he works through various secondary creators, through various instruments. So Brahmaji is called the creator. But if we look at the Bhagavatam first and second and third cantos carefully, then we understand that Brahmaji is actually the secondary creator. There is sarga and there is visarga. There is primary creation that is done by Krishna himself, and secondary creation that is done by Brahmaji. So actually speaking, Krishna doesn't act directly in the material world. So whatever is done through his agents or expansions. So for example, Brahmaji creates, Krishna by his expansion and Vishnu maintains, and through Shambhu Tattva, through Shivji, he destroys. So now this applies at a broad cosmic level. But at an individual level also, everything that we do, ultimately it is by Krishna's sanction. And we could say ultimately God is doing everything. Like Srila Prabhupada would quote his father saying that when Krishna wants to give, he can give more than what we can, what he can accept. He can give with 100 hands. How much can we accept with 2 hands? And when Krishna wants to take, he takes away with 100 hands. Now, it's exceptional that Krishna will himself appear and give. What Srila Prabhupada's father was referring to and what Srila Prabhupada was implying was that whenever the events happen in particular ways, say some business collapses, somebody cheats, or there's arson, burning, or whatever. So at that time, it is actually ultimately God doing through it. So from an absolute sense, we need to see Krishna's ultimate agency. But at the same time, from an immediate or contextual sense, we also need to see the agency of the person involved. So especially when Kshatriyas are administering justice, at that time they have to look at the immediate agency. A criminal, it shouldn't be said that if a criminal robs a person, then it is God who did that. Okay, God ultimately allowed it because of the karma, but the person did that. So similarly, with respect to sex, you know, Krishna is the ultimate agency, but the immediate agency is the mother and the father, who act through the medium of sex to bring that life into the world. So we can say that in the creation of the body of the offspring, the parents do play a significant role. That's why, because the parents pass their genes to their children, so that's why the children do have some resemblance to their parents. So we can't deny the role of creation that is there within sex, and we can't deny that the parents do play a part in that. Yes, God is the ultimate creator, but we are the co-creators, you could say subordinate creators. There are many times when the man and a woman unite with the desire to have progeny, but there is no pregnancy that results. So to say that man and woman themselves are the creators is incorrect, because there are factors beyond their control involved. But at the same time, generally when Krishna works in this world, he works through material agencies. So that's why the mother and the father are the agency through which Krishna gives a soul next body. So in that sense, to say that we are, that the man and woman become co-creators through sex is not wrong. So when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshabha, which is the context in which I quote this point of we becoming co-creators. The point is, Krishna says that such a sex life, dharma aviruddha bhuteshu, that is not contrary to sex life, contrary to principles of dharma, is, Krishna says, I am that lust, I am that kama. So, in such a situation, actually, it is Krishna who is acting, and one gets experience of Krishna through that. So in general, whenever there is creation, maintenance or destruction, the soul or the person of this world takes up the role of God temporarily. And that gives a sense of control, that gives a sense of power, that gives a sense of enjoyment, that gives a sense of satisfaction, depending on the circumstances and the consciousness of the person involved. And when these feelings, which do give some pleasure, are engaged in separate from God, then they become acts of imitation of God, and they become the source of bondage for us. So without considering the divine perspective or underlying sex, that actually we are assisting God in bringing new life into this world. If we just focus on, just the bodily pleasure over there, and don't even think, many times don't even think about procreation as a consequence. For them, the focus is just gratification, enjoyment over there. So then that is definitely non-spiritual. In fact, it is anti-spiritual, because it submerges us in bodily consciousness, makes us forget Krishna. But when it is done with a proper understanding, then we do become assistants to God. We do become co-creators. So this understanding is something that permeates all our activities. So when the parents eventually take care of the child, they are playing the role of the bharta. They are playing the role of the maintainer of the child. But if they do it independent of God, independent in terms of their consciousness, then they don't make much spiritual advancement by that. But Srila Prabhupada would say that the children that you have got are not just your children, they are Krishna's children who have been entrusted in your care. And you have opportunity to serve Krishna by taking care of them. So we become assistant maintainers for Krishna by taking care of the children. So in this way, in all the activities, in creation, maintenance, destruction, Arjuna participated in destruction for Krishna's behalf, on Krishna's behalf. And he also made spiritual advancement by that. So, of course, while playing certain roles, not all acts of creation, maintenance and destruction are equally compatible for the remembrance of Krishna. For example, if one is say writing something for Krishna, or trying to learn a particular tune or create a particular musical composition which is centered around devotion, then at that time the remembrance of Krishna can be more easy. But when, say, one is engaging in procreation, at that time the passions are so strong that remembrance of Krishna is more difficult. So similarly, with respect to destruction also, generally speaking, it is not recommended that devotees engage in destructive activities, because the mode of ignorance which is involved in destruction is often so overpowering that it makes it very difficult for us to remember Krishna. So one has to, whenever we play the role of creation, maintenance, destruction, on behalf of Krishna as his assistants, we have to ourselves be careful that we are doing it in a mood of remembrance of Krishna, and depending on how much we get emotionally entangled in it, to that extent we have to be cautious and prepare ourselves more and do that activity under guidance and regulation, so that we don't get just caught by the modes in over there, but we are actually able to remember Krishna during those activities. But nonetheless, they do, if they are done within the precincts of dharma, in the mood of service to Krishna, then they do offer us the opportunity to be co-creators or co-maintainers or co-destroyers with Krishna. Thank you.